Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Very, very happy Market Monday here on Doctor's Orders. I am Dr. Baker, the owner of the only business hospital in the world, servicing 14 countries on 5 continents. And the only reason why I tell you that is that I wake up every day looking to see how I can help businesses increase in their health, become more sustainable, and ultimately make more money during the livelihood that they selected and chose. And so with that, it's always my pleasure to come on the air and talk with you all about what things you can do to make your business better, how to be smarter about going about your business, making it more efficient. And so if you've been following the program at any time, you would know that every day is a different topic, and today is Market Monday. I'm excited to have one of our regular guests come back, and so I'll introduce her in a moment. But if anyone wants to join today's conversation at any level or you want to contribute in any way, you can do so by calling 859-291-2255. Once again, that's 859-291-2255. If you want to send me a message directly, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. That is info@drbaker.us. And so if you're a small business owner and you're listening, or you're an aspiring entrepreneur, one thing that always comes to mind is, how do I get my message out there? What do I need to do in order to make others know that I exist and participate with my brand, my product, my service? That literally is the proverbial hamster on the wheel, where we're always looking to see what can we do to make sure we're noticed and that we can differentiate ourselves. Literally, this is a topic that we can never exhaust. Things change from not just decade to decade anymore, but they're changing from year to year, month to month, and how we go about doing that. I think most of you business owners have an idea of what things you should engage in and behaviors you should employ, but how to go about doing that may get confusing. The timing of it may be uncertain. And so a lot of that isn't so much science as it is an art. You know, what should I post, if I should post, where should I put information, how should I craft my content? All of those things become very, very difficult for the business owner, especially when you're not classically trained in the space, or you don't have a passion for the space, but that you really have an interest and a heart for the work you do, which may not be marketing. And so in today's dialogue, I'm going to bring in Olivia Hutchinson of Fetch My Brand. And so Olivia is really good and a high-level professional at helping companies understand everything from their brand to the placement of it. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in Olivia Hutchinson. Olivia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be here again and talk a bit more about social media and websites and all the really fun stuff.
Well, you know, I thank you so much for that. And you know, what's really good is that the work you do, you have a pulse of the business owner. And so just to give another reference point for maybe even new listeners today, walk everyone through what is Fetch My Brand and the work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll kind of start with my background. I like to say that I was raised by small business owners, and because of that, I did not want to be a small business owner. I definitely understand the struggles that small business owners have. You know, marketing dollars are usually the first to get cut. We just exited a pandemic. Everyone's transitioning online. There's so much to understand, and it's really just not fair to small business owners across the world. So we made Fetch happen so small business owners can fall back in love with their business and it not break their bank. So we specialize in website design, branding, copywriting, and social media management.
Well, you talk about a few different aspects, and really I want to break those down individually today if we can. Let's start with just the branding itself. I was having a conversation late yesterday on my travels to DC, Washington, DC, and we were talking about logos and how important and non-important logos are. And you might say, well, you know, Dr. Baker, that's an oxymoron. How can it be important and not important at the same time? Well, the dialogue came from really talking about Amazon and what did Amazon do to create that smile of an arrow, if you will, and how did they morph into that from the beginning of time, and what did they spend on that logo, and then what did that mean for Google, for an example, that essentially paid nothing for theirs, and it came from one of those competition websites, and they just kind of selected it and ran with it. What kind of conversations do you have with business owners when it comes to establishing a logo or a presence or branding or their identity? Kind of walk us through what that dialogue looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So your branding, it's more obviously than just a logo, right? So your branding encompasses how you approach your business. What are your core values? What are your brand colors? You know, what's that iconography looking like as far as the visual elements with the logo? But also, like, what do you stand for, and what does that look like? How do you make your customers feel, et cetera? So to start, I would say you don't need a logo, right? Nobody needs a logo. But for small business owners, oftentimes the logo is the first thing that they do before they even talk to a lawyer or an attorney or get their, you know, ABCs, their accountant, you know, all of these things, right? So the logo sometimes for small business owners especially just solidifies that thing for them. They want to put branding on top of it. They want to start with something. But as you grow and evolve and change, that logo may differentiate, that may change and evolve with you. So it's definitely important, I would say, but I don't think it's something that you have to strap down and say, this is it forever, and let it take shape. You know, even the biggest brands in the world do it. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you see all of these different logo changes. But more so just what's behind the logo. What do your customers and your community associate your logo with? And that's you and your business or your product or your service or whatever that might be.
Well, you talked about a few things that I think is vitally important for the listeners to really pick up on. I don't want them to miss it. Is that your value proposition? What do you stand for? How do you want to be viewed to the masses? You know, we might sit and stew over fonts and colors and sizes, but none of that really tells the story. It's only a portion of the story, but more of it has to be developed. I can tell you from my experiences through my assessments, my diagnosis, and prescription writing is that there are many business owners that they really don't have a legitimate story to tell. They are in business, but they don't really know how to tell their story. And because that part doesn't exist, they believe that, well, what really matters now are the colors and the fonts. So with you talking about how does the inner side of you display to your target audience? How does that inner side of you display to the general public? All of that becomes really vital. How much work do you all do with assisting them with, number one, finding their voice or determining their identity or shaping what they look like to the world?
Yeah, so that's actually a very important part of our copywriting process. And so copy, for people that aren't in the branding space, is whenever it's the verbiage on your website, it's your LinkedIn bio, it's your elevator pitch, it's how you speak as a business, which is different than how you speak as a business owner. And so we really try to give the brand a voice. It's very important. We do a ton of research and then ultimately create different sentences and different voices that your brand may have. So you can say, this feels natural, because it has to feel natural since you'll be writing the captions and things like that. So we work a lot with the brand voice as well as the voice values, you know. So oftentimes if we have a product company that's a bit quirky, our brand likes to make jokes and play with our audience. Or if we have a wellness coach, then their voice may say, I want my audience to feel comfortable with me. And so it's just a matter of figuring out the business owner, but then also figuring out their target audience and how they would best be receptive to the business.
Well, when you're going through that exercise, I would imagine, based on my experiences, and I'm curious to hear if yours are similar in this, is that when we call our patient discoveries, is that they start finding themselves because they've had to articulate who they are and what they are, and therefore a brighter light, if you will, shines on them as it relates to their offering or how they've been doing the work. And so now they've been forced to access parts of the brain that maybe they only were casually thinking about before, but now it's active. And because it's active, they learn more about themselves, the service and the products that they have. And so it allows them to see their business in a more comprehensive method. Does that happen for you as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's oftentimes who's bringing it out of you. You know, I really commend you, just working with you on a personal and professional level, that you do ask the most intriguing questions to be able to bring out those thoughts on the business owner. And we try to emulate that with the copy-specific process, where we're not just figuring out what are the business's goals and values across the board, but just in that very special niche on what is the tone, you know, like what are the values of that business's voice.
Well, as you take the voice, and it's always difficult to take words and turn that into imagery, or to take a lot of words and condense it into a succinct message. But a lot of times in marketing, that's exactly what you're doing. You know, I recall working through a process with an entity, a tech entity, that had a unique technology, 3D, motion, and the like, and it was very complicated technology. And we were looking to create a few things. One was their brand positioning. Another was a description of the technology. And it was a 3-day time frame to take a whole lot of words and then start to whittle those words down to where when you said it out loud, someone would say, okay, I understand what it is. And you know what? I kind of want that product, or I want to integrate that technology. Thinking about your brand position, thinking about your value propositions, that becomes very difficult work. And it's something that if it's not guided appropriately, then you can, for lack of terms, be misguided. And you might hit the wrong audience, or you may not convert as much as you would like to or would need to. Let's transition the conversation just a little bit and then talk about, once you've gotten past kind of the colors and the font and the logo, if you will, and you're thinking about that, and then you get past the value propositioning, how does anyone know where they should place their business? So is it social media first and foremost and always? Is it in traditional methods, where it might be just traditional advertising methods? Is it more not marketing first, but sales first and marketing second? How do you all typically go about determining what's the best place to position a client?
So all of our clients are different, and I think that the audience is going to be at different places. I like to say starting with a website first is probably the best place to begin, even if it's just a baseline website. Get yourself on Google, get yourself a domain, and then that way you're able to have a starting point. It can always, always change later. You can always add your services pages. It could just be a simple landing page, but most of the time people are going to be looking you up on their Google, and they want to be able to find you there, and it just kind of gives that nod of this is a legitimate business. From there, going into social media channels, I would always do a social media channel, one singular one. You don't have to have all of them. It's just a matter of which one your audience is hanging out on the most, and you can always couple that with advertising or, you know, door-to-door, or maybe doing a pop-up shop, you know, all of these different options. But I would always say have one social media channel, at least.
Well, let's look at websites first before we go into social media. How important is it for your website to perform well, links to work, aesthetically pleasing, user experience, you know, just the UX of it and navigation? You know, when you say let's start at the website, let's really break down the importance of the site and what that means to conversion.
Yeah, so you'll hear me say a lot, and it's kind of like an uh-oh word, but it's very important. And we deal with this thing through social media and with your website, and that is this beautiful thing we like to call the algorithm. And so there is an algorithm with all search engines. There's, you know, Google has its own algorithm, and Google will crawl your site. It has spiders that will crawl your website. And if those links aren't working, if the UX is not, you know, user-friendly, if it isn't optimized for mobile, then it will flag your website and you will not perform as well. So if someone is, let's just say Tom has a dog food company, and he's got this dog food company, and he doesn't have any alternate text, it's not SEO optimized, and it doesn't perform well on Google or on mobile, Google is going to send an email that says your site is not performing well, and if you don't fix those things, if someone types in organic dog food, you may rank on the 13th page of Google's search engine. So having a website is important, but having a website that's optimized and actually does its job is even more important?
Well, considering the obvious nature is that it is your window, it is your storefront, if you will. So you want to put your best foot forward there. I think everyone has known that now for decades, and that part isn't lost. But I think the part that gets lost are the inner workings of the site. You know, how does it function? How does it rank? What are the algorithms? I mean, and even small things that we think might be obvious and conspicuous, such as picture size and download speed, are things that business owners still miss and that we ignore, but believing that a website is important. We start talking about social media, and we think that that works independently, but social media and your website and your storytelling, that all works hand in hand, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So having all of these channels is important because you're going to hit different audiences with all of these channels too. So let's first start with the website. As far as the load time and all of these things, making sure that your website works for you is obviously really important. That's something that we always tell our clients is, yes, we want you to have a really beautiful website, and we want that experience to be portrayed to the consumer on the landing page and on the homepage and on every single page after that. But we also want the website to work for you. You know, having not only the low load times with the low image sizes, having, you know, not a ton of video, making sure that your headlines are optimized so they can rank on Google. All of those things are really important, but then also making sure you've got frequently asked questions and that you've got an integrated map and that you can integrate your Instagram feed. That way your audience can find you on your website and then hopefully join your community through social media. Now, whenever we're talking about which audience finds you where, I'm 23, so I'm going to look somebody up on Instagram. That's the first place that I usually go. And Instagram is working to optimize itself as a search engine like YouTube and like Pinterest and like Google. Now, my dad or my mom may find somebody on Google. That's probably the first place that they look. They'll go on their phone and they'll type in their Safari, the business name, or, you know, shoe repair near me, or organic dog food if they've just bought a new puppy. So having that connection with your audience is really important. Usually your website will just inform people and then potentially allow them a place to reach out and learn more about your brand. Your Instagram or your Facebook or your TikTok or your Twitter, those are where you're going to really build that community element and then be able hopefully to eventually make the sale if they aren't quite ready.
So in this instance, I'm a business owner. I do a great job of getting me a website up, and that may be a large undertaking for me. Now we're talking about the management of it and the consistency of the management of it. You mentioned something that I know creates issues for business owners, especially based on whatever product or service they have, but you mentioned video. How important is video updates, and how a business can then highlight themselves through video?
I think that there's no better way to market right now than video. All of the social media platforms are really pushing not just short form video, but also long form video content. And so I think that anytime that you can just dip your feet a little bit into Instagram Reels or TikTok or YouTube Shorts, try it and see, and I guarantee you that you're going to notice a difference. You know, I had our copywriter the other day. She's so talented and she's got all this knowledge, and I was like, do me a favor and post a reel today. And she did, and immediately got a DM of somebody who's interested in working with her to tell their brand story. And it is so important. And sometimes, as frustrating as it is to listen to those algorithms, right now the algorithms are pushing video content. So as far as on social media, it's really, really important right now to prioritize video content. Still post your photos on your feed, but you're going to reach a much broader audience with videos. As far as your website, adding a video, let's just say you have a blog, okay, and you love to write. Adding a video to your blog increases that on-page time spent by 5 to 7 minutes. That's huge. You know, anytime we can get your audience to stay on your website for longer, then that increases your ranking on Google's algorithm, and you're going to rank higher on those pages. So it's really important on social media, but if you are interested in spending that extra time and ranking a bit higher on Google, really also put those videos on your blogs as well. You know, if you're creating them once, maximize your content, stretch your content as much as you can, and post it on a blog, and post it on TikTok, and post it on Instagram, and all the places.
So in that instance, you know, all of that sounds like things where you're like, oh, it's straightforward. But if I own a catering company, or if I own a very small construction company, how do I now go about posting these videos or even having the time to come up with the content? Because, and now this is me talking, not as the entrepreneur or the business owner, but I don't even know what I should be filming, could be a question. Or how frequently should I film something? Heck, I don't even have the right camera. I don't think I have my phone, but should I even use my phone? Do these questions come to you? And then how do business owners react and respond to that?
So I would say at that point, it's really, really important to gather a team. And something that business owners often don't even consider is that you can outsource your social media. And I'm going to give a shameless plug, so just beware. But we've got a very talented social media team of five people plus myself that work with clients all over the country on helping them navigate videos and all of the social media updates and ensuring that they're putting their best foot forward and hitting their audience where we think that they should. As far as with if you're doing it yourself, let's just say you're DIYing your social media strategy and those videos, I would say first start just filming everything. Everything is content, and any content is better than no content. So on your phone, we actually recommend our clients to film on their phone. You don't need a fancy camera unless you're doing like a sit-down interview style video that's like a brand video that's going on your website and might live there for a really long time. Anything that's Reels content or TikTok, film it on your phone, and it actually, as crazy as it sounds, performs better than very highly produced short form video content. And so that's something, you know, I'm very type A, and a lot of our clients are that way too. And Erin, who is our head of social media, she's so talented. She literally sat me down and was like, it does not have to be perfect. Like, it may have the lifespan of 24 hours that people are actually going to see it. And getting in front of the people is more important than having the most perfect video. So just remember that it does not have to be perfect. And it might be better if it's not perfect. So just do it and try it. See if you like it. And as far as the time of filming, I like to say batch create your content. So send yourself some videos on Instagram, you know, save them, save the sound, save the trending audios. And then when you're feeling like, you know, you feel like getting in front of the camera, block off some time and just batch create those videos. That way you don't have to make time to do it every single day, because finding the time to do it once is really hard, but finding the time to do it for an hour a day is just not realistic for small business owners. So do it once, maybe change your outfit so it looks like you're filming for different days, go to a different part in your house or in your storefront. Just film some content and try it.
Well, looking at that, you know, people can be very, very shy in front of a camera as a business owner. Oftentimes, you have a scenario where you're really good at something and that's what you want to bring to the world. Now this other behavior is being good at something else that maybe you weren't great at. You know, I know scientists that have great products that they've come up with, inventions, but in that reality, they are not really good in front of people or speaking or demonstrating their skill set. Are there other ways for them to participate, even if it's not as effective, but yet and still it could bring them some added momentum?
Yeah, anything that you can do as far as social media goes, just to be active on that page is important, especially for this younger generation. I just moved to a new city about a year ago, and I will look up everywhere online. Before I go, I'll look them up on Instagram and see, you know, is this a good nail salon? You know, should I get my hair cut here? Is this a good, you know, esthetician? And so I'll look them up, and if they have not posted at all, I'll be like, red flag, like maybe they aren't even in business, you know? So I think having any sort of content on your social media channels is great. You know, even if it's just a stock photo and a more valuable caption, or if it's just a graphic with no caption, or, you know, it's a story, or just filming your day-to-day. Anything is great. As far as people who want to dabble in video but don't feel super comfortable in front of the camera, there's other ways to do that too. You know, if you, let's just go back to the construction worker. So if you own a construction company and you're doing residential construction and you're building a subdivision and you've got a house that you're building. So what I would say is take videos every single step of the way, and you don't have to be in it, but just take some videos showing the progress and the transitions of the actual build out, and then stitch all those videos together to a trending sound and post that. All of those things will help you reach a broader audience and then be able to connect with people in that way.
Well, when we're looking at marketing as a whole, and you're giving some really good tips on how to participate with this changing mentality and paradigm of integration, involvement, social media, and so on and so forth, how does a business owner look at their allocation of time / their allocation of money? And I know that I'm talking about a very general question with a myriad of answers that would suffice. So having one answer doesn't necessarily fit the question this way, but the way I want to push the dialogue for the listeners is that you can be very confused if you've done nothing beforehand. And let's say you're not a social media person, or maybe you are for personal reasons, but haven't done much in your business. It can be very confusing as to what should I even post? What should I engage in? What should I like? What should I not like? Who should I connect with? How does that conversation typically go with some of your newer clients when they're exploring this for the first time? And then how willing are they to embrace how things kind of are going in the minds of the consumer?
So I would say, as far as time allocation, you really have to look at your costs, right? For a lot of our clients, outsourcing their social media, while it's a cost that they're paying for, they're also gaining so much time back. And that's time that they can spend optimizing their systems or selling or going to those vendor fairs and, you know, different things that they're able to gain time back, which, you know, is obviously the most important asset. So they're saving money, ultimately, because they're able to optimize their time to make themselves more money. Whenever we are talking to a client, we actually will allocate a whole entire month that we spend onboarding. And that's for us being able to figure out all of those questions. So we spend a ton of time and energy learning the industry, getting to know those target markets, figuring out who that target market is, where they're hanging out on social media, figuring out what content should work for them, what content worked in the past, you know, what content is working for the best of the best of the industry, what types of people are engaging with that content, what time should you be posting, how many hashtags, what caption style, you know, all of these things that we know are really important, and we have it down to a formula of figuring out how to figure out all of those things for our clients. And so I would say, if you're trying to DIY it yourself, know that it's going to take a lot of time, it's going to take a lot of energy, but that it's really worth it if done correctly. You know, listen to podcasts, watch YouTube videos, try to get a grasp, or you're going to end up wasting a lot of time.
What does that look like from a traditional method when we're looking at the marketing mix? And I know the marketing mix isn't a term that many entrepreneurs use. It's more academic in nature. But when you're looking at just the four aspects, you know, your product, your placement, your price, the promotion, what does that look like when you're saying, all right, we're going to do, you know, make sure your website's solid, we're going to do social. Is there ever a recommendation on print ads to couple with that, radio spots to couple with that, billboard ads, even if you will, or even looking at their sales team and saying, this is how marketing connects with your actual sales team? What does that relationship look like in your world with business owners?
Yeah, so a lot of our clients are service-based businesses that operate completely online, or they're product-based businesses that operate completely online. We actually are working with a couple more local businesses, attorneys, you know, accounting, that need to meet with their client in real life, and it's all geographic. So as far as our position with, like, interacting with their target audience, those are things that we definitely consider. And figuring out who actually will engage with them, but who could actually be their potential client or their consumer or their community member. Whenever we're talking about the mix, I think that social media marketing in particular, and digital marketing with the website and blog creation and all the fun stuff, that not only falls into your promotion, but it also falls into placement because, you know, we aren't a grocery store. You know, you've got dog food and construction companies all on social media, and you may have the opportunity to hit a much broader audience. With that being said, we can't forget about the traditional forms of marketing. While we don't personally handle a ton of traditional forms of marketing, we do a lot of graphic design for billboards or window marketing, you know, different prints, as well as handouts, mailers, things like that. And that there's a ton of opportunity in that space as well.
We're going to take a quick station break just for identification. Everyone, you're listening to Doctor's Orders. This is Market Monday, and today's segment is brought to you by Pro Elite Training. That's the word elite, Pro Elite Training. And it is the proprietary way to train through the metronome of music to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace. So in other words, if you wanted to learn how to play basketball or football or learn how to fight, you could do that through the metronome of music and increase your skill set. You can find Pro Elite Training online at getproelite.com, or you can find it in your Play Store or your Google Store by just putting in Pro Elite Training, and the big red key will show up. You will train alongside NBA players, NFL players, MMA fighters, all of that, whether you're a novice or you're a professional yourself, and everything in between. Increase your rhythm and tempo through Pro Elite Training, as it is the only platform and apparatus that allows you to increase the muscle memory around rhythm and tempo. Once again, that's Pro Elite Training. Today we're brought to you, or our guest today is Olivia Hutchinson of Fetch, and we're talking all things marketing, social media, how to understand marketing. And if you want to join the conversation, you can do so at 859-291-2255, or you can send a note in at info@drbaker.us. So Olivia, as we're covering how a business owner should see their business from a marketing standpoint, how they should tell their story, how much should they engage in, you know, what are some of the frequent questions or obstacles that you run into with some of your clients?
Okay, I actually made a list, I'll go through a couple of them. Do I need social media is a big one. This is often asked by older business owners who've been in business for, you know, a couple years, maybe a decade or two, and they're saying to themselves, I have a full buff, you know, I'm good. I've been a hairstylist for 30 years, and I have no openings in my schedule. Why do I need a social media? And I would say to that person, everybody needs social media, because the next generation of your clients are going to be on social media. And I think that that's important across all business platforms. You don't want to wait until you need it. You need to be proactive instead of reactive, especially when it comes to social media, or you're going to be completely behind the base. So starting now, just create the platform, create the social media channels, and then that way you're able to start engaging with potential new audiences or reach people like me, you know, that I just moved to a new city and I'm looking for people online. So always create the social media platforms, even if you don't feel like you need them today, because you may need them tomorrow or in a year from now. Let me think of what else. Should I have multiple social media platforms, multiple social media channels? And I would say if you think that you can handle multiple, then definitely, obviously, you reach different audiences with different channels, and challenge yourself to do so. With that being said, I think prioritizing one and being really, really good at one is also a great strategy and a great approach. You want to put the best content that you can out there, because that's your business's brand and the face of what you're building. And so you want to make sure that you prioritize that as well as being on multiple channels.
Well, you know, you mentioned something I want to jump in on that, and that, yeah, you know, businesses that operate, I would say, for a long time, pre-social media, and may not feel like that's the place. You referenced that as one of the examples. And in that case, having a presence just establishes the longevity and the understanding that we know what place this occupies, even though we don't have to live there for conversion. We want to stay there for either market share, awareness, or connectivity. Is that oftentimes received well from companies that have been in business a long time and haven't seen the need, or has there been a rejection to that type of thinking?
No, it's actually really, everyone's very receptive of it. I think that if one thing that the last 2 years, you know, the 2020s thus far have taught us, it's that we have to be able to pivot and we have to be able to be open to new ways to reach our audience. And so whenever we talk about social media with business owners, even those that just exist and don't really do much with it, it just opens their eyes to saying, okay, if this were to happen again, you know, if, please know, I'm not speaking it into the world, but if another pandemic happens, how am I going to connect with my audience? You know, what does that look like for me? And how am I going to be able to potentially reach new audiences? And build the community with my existing consumers, it's social media. And so I think that most of our small business owners that we speak to about the importance 100% understand it. It's just oftentimes time. You know, I don't have the time to do it. I don't have the time to do it effectively. And do I want to create something and not have it be the very best?
Now, is that a misnomer that you don't have the time or even the time to do it correctly? Because you mentioned a few things throughout today's segment. One of them is just having organic content. So if we go back to the construction company and you took a very quick snippet of something that you did at the site and just said, hey, here we are at the site having a great time. We've got 24 people employed, making sure that this building is constructed the best way. Love to do some work for you, whether it's a commercial or whether it's, let me show you something dangerous on the construction site that many people don't look for. And see these wires here? If we don't do this, then these wires could hurt someone. All right, everybody be safe. That is something that could be done in seconds and then still upload it, but still could have a positive effect. Is that right?
100%. And I think that that was great content, Dr. Baker. So good, good idea on that social media hat that you've got on. But yeah, I think it is and it isn't. You know, there are, I look at my parents who own multiple small businesses, and I don't think that they have the time to do it. They aren't on the site. They're in the office. They aren't doing anything really fun. They're slammed. But I think that they obviously understand and prioritize social media, so they hire somebody to do that for them. It's just thinking about it. And for most solopreneurs or very small business owners, you do have the time, and you probably are around the content every single day, like you just said. It's just prioritizing that and knowing that, you know, whatever you do create, you don't have to post it right away. You know, you can use scheduling platforms. I sit down at the end of the month on a Saturday, whatever the last Saturday is, and I look forward to my content creation time for my business. And then I don't touch my social media posting-wise other than Instagram Reels or Stories. You know, I engage with people on there, and I'll like and comment on other people's photos, but I'm not having to worry about posting my own content because it's scheduled out in advance. And so things like that, that you can just optimize your time and just focus on one thing for one day, will make a world of a difference whenever you don't have to do it every single day for the next month.
Talk to us a little bit about digital assets and how important digital assets may be. You know, you mentioned that you guys do some graphic design work. I know that, let's say I own a salon, or let's say that I'm a startup founder, on and on. Runs the gamut as it relates to business ownership, but I'm not really good at graphics. I'm not good at creating animation, or I'm not good at putting together these assets that should be used in an online space. You know, how important is it to do that and to diversify your content in that way? Or is it more important to have a theme and just kind of run with that theme and piggyback from there? But just share something with the audience of, is this something they should worry about, or is it more so a nice to have?
It depends, you know, what your goals are. I think that if you're trying to grow and evolve and, you know, increase your income, I would say to invest in some digital assets, because you can have those for forever. You know, you can utilize those or tweak those or change those. Usually graphic designers will give you the editable files, whether that's for a billboard or then you want to transfer that into a mailer. All of those things you can then utilize on down the road. And I think that's something to be weary of, and also just a little like make sure that you, you know, whenever you're interviewing your graphic designer, say, can I have the files after you're done? That way you can maximize the money that you spent on those assets, and you actually own those assets.
Yeah, in that case, you know, when you're thinking about that as a small business owner, it feels as if it's a burden to just knock that out maybe in one fell swoop. So essentially, I got to go meet with my graphic designer. I got to come up with some stuff, junk and things to send out to the world. And so they do it, and just to get it off the shelf or to, you know, mark off the task list. Is this something that can be done up front and then you hold those assets and then release them slowly over time? Or is it a better approach to revisit it, customize it, and then kind of look at what you're doing and what you're gaining from that?
Yeah, I would say, let's talk about social media. Okay, so with social media posts, I would say revisiting those monthly is probably the best decision. Yes, you can create all that content in advance, and I'll do it sometimes. You know I want to post about the new website launches that we have, or I know that these social media changes are happening, and I don't think it's super important to talk about them this month, but maybe I want to post about them next month. You know, things like that that I think you can create a bit of content in advance. But as far as, you know, what's important, what is your audience resonating with, and you're constantly kind of looking at those analytics, not just from the graphic design perspective, but also the post perspective on the caption style and the hashtags and all of those things that you want to say, okay, I want to make sure that each piece of content I'm posting or each piece of, you know, each asset that I have that I want to make into a billboard, you're able to actually look and see and change those things and revisit them is super important.
Well, when you're doing it, I think one of the realities that business owners have to really understand, and I hope if you're listening that you really get this part, is that you have to manage your business. You have to manage every aspect of it. You know, today is not the day that we're going to cover finances. You know, that happens on Friday. But the point is, if you're not looking at your finances, your insurances, all of the protections and risks regularly, that's going to cost you money. So you can't hide from it. You can't run away from it. You have to understand what metrics are important to you and your work. How does it make you interact with your clientele or your target audience, and then make those adjustments in real time? That is certainly a health standard that allows your business to be more sustainable over time and for the long term. Well, your media practice is no different. How you view your media elements has to still fall in line with what are we doing, what message are we telling, are we connecting with our target audience? If we aren't, why aren't we? And then what do we need to do in order to do so? I would ask you, Olivia, how much of social media is trial and error as opposed to how much of it is scientific?
It's a combination, and I know that that's just a very generalized term, but it really is. You know, I like to say that for the way we approach all of our clients' social media strategies is different. And so my strategy and your strategy, or that construction company or the dog food company, everyone's going to have a slightly different strategy, but you can go into it as scientific as possible. And with as much base strategy as possible. So between our team, we probably do 20 to 30 hours of research every single week, listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos, reading blogs, you know, all of those things that allow us to have the best approach as possible. So things like, you know, prioritizing video, we know that that's important. We can see that in the analytics. We can see what time works the best. We can see what hashtags work the best. We can see how long of a caption. Should we put more copy inside the graphic, or should we do a more simple graphic or a photo with a longer caption? Things like that that we will be able to look at and say, okay, this is working, so let's create a strategy around these couple pieces of posts. But it's a lot of A/B testing. You know, we would be bad social media managers and a bad social media company if we didn't do A/B testing every single month. Figuring out, is there something that's going to work better? We're very competitive, and if you're a small business owner, you probably are a bit competitive too. And so you always want to be the best, and you want to put that best foot forward, and that's going to change as your audience changes. And so figuring out always what's working best for you and what's providing the most value to your audience.
Well, you talked about the amount of research that you all are doing as a company. That's outside of the work that you're doing. So you're actually living, breathing inside of the space, which is increasing the knowledge and your professionalism, but you're also working on the business by researching these things. And I want to highlight that because if I own a restaurant or I have a masonry company, there's no way possible I'm putting the same amount of energy and effort into understanding how I should be presented in the market as a company like Fetch. And listeners, one thing that you know that I harp on regularly is if you don't have the right skill set, you need to find the person that does or the company that does, and you have to find a way to include them with aspects that will catapult your business. I think it's no marvel that marketing and sales catapult your business. It is a very, very mandatory reality if you want to be a business owner. So if that's the case, you would then have to determine, well, if I'm a solopreneur or I'm a micro or boutique business, can I get away with marginalizing my marketing? If I can't, then who can I lean on to assist me with these efforts, even if the cost starts off minimally and then increases over time? I know that I find a lot of my patients apprehensive to pay for service or to bring someone in because they're either afraid of the cost it will, you know, that they will incur, or the new way of business that they have to do it outside of what they're currently doing. How much resistance do you get from whether it's, you know, new clients or prospective clients around how much service should I take? Should I even take the services? Are they more excited about having a marketing strategy that can be employed? Are they more apprehensive and you got to kind of convince them that that's the right direction to go in?
Yeah, so usually whenever people reach out to us, they're very excited about growing on social media, and they know that they want to do it in the best way possible. So usually it's more of like a, are you the right fit? I'm looking for somebody. And so that's usually an exciting process for us. Just getting to know our clients, because we do really work closely with them. You know, we become an extension of their team. And sometimes it's a conversation of, do I hire an intern or do I hire, you know, a full-time employee that's coming in to help me manage this? And what I'd say is, you know, if you're deciding between hiring somebody internal or an intern, or you are thinking about outsourcing, we not only do the research as our team, you know, researching the industry, researching the market for you, and researching your business, but we also do manage 15 clients that we look at the analytics across the board, and we can see, okay, is this strategy working for anybody? Is it working across the board? What sounds are trending? How is the best chance that our clients have to increase their followers, increase their views on their account, increase their website click-throughs, different things like that, that we can actually put to test every single month with all of our clients. And it's significantly cheaper than hiring somebody in-house and probably less of a headache and comparable in price to an intern. And so something that I've really prioritized in our business is how can we be helpful and provide value. You know, you don't want to pay somebody X amount of dollars and it not do anything for your business. You'd rather probably pay a little bit more and make sure that it works. We work with small business owners every single day. I understand the budget, and that's why I started Fetch, was because I know that there's a lot of very expensive options out there, and they may not really be beneficial to you in the long run.
Well, you know, looking at how should you begin, you know, I think the expectation is important. And I really want to talk about this for a moment because I find this to probably be the biggest thorn in my side when it comes to marketing, but I also find it to be the most, misinterpreted function of marketing. I know that I hear business owners believe, well, all I need is marketing. Okay, but when you say all you need is marketing, what does that actually mean? And a lot of times in their mind, because, you know, five or six posts went out, or because they did a one-time campaign, that means they should have 10x their business. How do you keep businesses or business owners' expectations tempered as you work to grow their following?
Yeah, so social media is a long game, and that's very important to understand. it's also one piece of your business. Sometimes we do have to manage clients' expectations because they think they can hand over social media and then their business is going to boom. But we can only push so much content. And so you have to have a good business plan and work with somebody who's an expert in the field to make sure that you have a quality product if you're selling a product, or you've got a good mix of services if you're a service-based business. Things like that are very, very important, because without that, we could grow your following and we can get eyes on your page, but people may not click through to your website and they may not buy your product. So it's really important to make sure that you have all the elements of your business before you invest a ton of money in social media. I would say that that's probably something that should come once you have a product or you have somewhere to start generating email lists, or you've got a lead generator or whatever that looks like for your business in particular. But it is such a long game, and your growth is going to be hopefully steady. You may see a spike, you know, you may go viral, which is obviously the goal, but you also want to make sure that as you're growing your followers, that they're actual potential clients. So oftentimes I say a red flag. I've been giving a lot of red flags away with graphic design. And now I'll give one that I like to tell potential clients, hey, just as you're exploring your options, it has to feel really, really good, because you do work so closely with your social media outsourced team. But also just pay attention to this red flag. And my biggest one is that they guarantee any sort of growth. You know, it's very easy to say, well, we'll guarantee you 500 followers a month. And you say, wow, that's great. I want to use those people. But that probably means that they're buying your followers, and that's going to tank your long-term growth on your social media. And it's probably not your ideal consumer. It may be bots. It may be people in a different country. It may be people in the different part of, you know, the country that you're in. I like to say that it is a steady growth. You know, we aim to get our clients at an 8 to 10% growth rate a month on their social media channels. And it's hard. You know, we have to work really hard to get there. And we may not see it some months, but we always try to be as transparent as possible and making sure that you're, as a business owner, you're seeing all of the elements that are going into trying to grow your account, so you can approve of those and say that this feels good. This is the way I want my business to be based.
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, getting a specified amount of followers or traffic or even going viral. We hear these terms all the time. I know what my patients tell me when it comes to, I would like to go viral, or I'm looking for hyper growth. What does that look like in your world? How is that interpreted? When they say, you know, viral, hyper growth, what are they actually saying, and how does that translate into growing their business?
Yeah, so you want to obviously grow within your industry, and you want to grow and have your content spread to your audience, which a lot has to do with who your followers are, who's engaging with your account, and who that community is on social media. My first thing that I would say is, when somebody says, I want to go viral, I always respond, for you. And they're like, what? And I'm like, viral for you. You know, viral for you is going to be different than viral for me, or viral for somebody with 100,000 followers. So figuring out what that looks like, and really picture, you know, having a picture in your head, what does 10,000 people in a room look like? And that is how you should always try to create content. Imagine an audience of, if we're going back to the construction company, we're using that as our example today, picturing what does 10,000 people that are potential home buyers or commercial real estate owners that want to use my company, and what would be valuable for them, and constantly creating content in that space that would, you know, potentially reach those people. If you are a construction company and you really got the urge to dance, and you want to dance and do a viral trend with the dancing space, you may go viral for you. You may go viral for you, but you may get a lot of people that follow you that are just random people that actually won't be your consumer. So always staying within your niche, making sure that every piece of content has a why behind it, and that you're not just fire drill posting a bunch of random content just because you think that you should be posting.
Well, I think when we say go viral, I think it also means that a million people are going to see what I have, and that also means that they're going to buy what I have. And it doesn't mean that. You know, when you're looking at how do I engage in a social world digitally, a lot of times it's just simply for awareness or to state the fact that you are in existence, but that doesn't mean that you've done a poor communication that forces people to convert into buyers. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that that would fall under that placement element of the four P's of marketing. And I think that for us, what we say is we're going to do consistent work, right? We're going to post the graphics. We're going to post the highlights on your Instagram feed. We're going to have really engaging stories. But the reels or the potential to reach that broader audience, those posts are going to get people to see your account. You know, even your followers, all of your followers aren't going to see your account. You may have 10,000 followers and 300 of them are actually even going to see your post that you post on your timeline just based on their algorithm and their mix. So figuring out how to reach a broader audience and going viral is just one way to do that. It's not a way to guarantee that any of those people are going to actually, you know, follow you, first of all, or buy your product or service.
Well, I think I can see some business owners saying, well, why would I care to even participate if it doesn't mean that they're going to buy what I have or take my service? And your response or rebuttal to that would be what?
That you're never going to have the potential to reach those people if you don't create the content. So they may follow you, and then they may see your account for, they may, you know, get those 7 interactions or 8 interactions or 3 or whatever it takes them to actually buy your product. And then you have the potential to sell to them, but you won't ever get in front of those people if you don't do it.
Well, I think one thing that's clear, and we've known this since time began, but if you had a television commercial that reached 10 million people, it didn't mean that all 10 million people was going to buy what you had. Same with the radio, same with the billboard. So it's no different. It's just applying the same logic, the same sound business principles of awareness and driving attention to what you have just through a different vehicle. That's understanding how this vehicle drives. If anyone wanted to get in contact with you, Olivia, for services, for assistance, for questions, how can they go about doing so?
Yep, we're at Fetch My Brand, fetchmybrand.com, and that's probably the best way to connect with us. I'm very passionate about helping small business owners, even if you aren't quite ready to invest money and financial resources in working with somebody like us. I do encourage you to reach out via DM, and just we'll just have a little chat, and we'll talk about what that looks like in the long run and things you can do as an entrepreneur today to try to reach a broader audience online.
Understood. What are some of the pitfalls or obstacles, any warnings you can provide to our listeners before we go?
In terms of social media, I would say the biggest one for social is to not buy your followers. That's my number one tip anytime someone asks for one. Also, don't get discouraged if you have content that flops. You know, I've got about 7,000 followers and I still have content that flops. So it's something that you just have to learn from and know that you aren't going to be a pro on day one, but always try new things and try different ways to reach that audience. When it comes to your website, just trying to really make sure that you view it from a consumer's perspective, put in that extra time, put in that extra energy, maybe put in some financial resources to make sure that you're representing yourself best online, across your branding, across your website, across your verbiage, and across your social media channels.
You know, I think one tip that you gave that was just remarkable is don't be discouraged. And as a business owner, we cannot look at the valley. We just have to be prepared for the valley. Everyone, it's been a great, great episode. Olivia Hutchinson, thank you so much for your expertise and your wisdom from all the daily work you do in the social media space, along with the digital marketing space. Everyone, I'm Dr. Baker. This has been Doctor's Orders. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow for Tech Tuesday. Have a great one.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.